Bobby DeBrayne Heenan on this very special Mother's Day weekend. One day of the year set aside to honor, to show respect for your mom. Unfortunately, 365 days would be more like it. But Mom, to you out there in Las Vegas, my love, my honor, my respect, and a special gift headed out your way, as I'm sure, Brain, that big gift headed for Beverly Hills.
Boy, you said a mouthful. I wish Mother's Day was every day. Last year, my mom got me a red Mercedes.
What do you mean, got you?
Well, it's Mother's Day. You mean a good
You're supposed to show your love and give something to your mom.
I'm her kid. How's that?
You're disgusting. Here we go.
Brilliant. Thank you very much to Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby the Brain Heenan for that Mother's Day weekend intro. If you're a little confused, the reason that it's Mother's Day is it's Mother's Day here in the UK.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I thought I'd just let the guys introduce us there. I just go on YouTube and I watch a lot of their stuff because I just think those guys were so entertaining.
Man, they had chemistry.
Yeah, chemistry that some...
I could feel that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like they are like one of your sort of comedy... Like, they're like a professional comedy duo.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the guys there. So I thought I'd let them introduce the People's Podcast this week with me, Andy P, and John Shoes.
Yes.
How are you, John?
I'm good. How are you?
Well, I'm alright. I mean... I'm going to be honest, I'm going to start off the show actually with a non-wrestling related topic, because to be quite honest, Raw was a bit underwhelming this week, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But what I'm actually going to do is I've got a thank you to do, and that's a thank you to the main squeeze, Jenny. She bought me a book about David Bowie this week.
Nice.
Now obviously David Bowie passed away a couple of months ago, and I was pretty caught up about it. He was like one of my favourites of all time. I grew up listening to his music, etc. But what actually I was about to start, because it's a big book and I was about to start reading it tonight, and it's called Strange Fascination Bowie. And when I was actually looking at the inside, you know, reading about the author and his other books, etc., I realised that I actually already have one of his books. But I got it like something like 10 years ago, and it's about another favourite band of mine, Brian Ferry and Roxy Music. And I was just like, man, that is so cool. That's like, I now have two books, and she didn't know that. She didn't know I had the other book. And I was like, man, that's so cool. So shout out to her and thanks very much. So yeah, that's that. The reason I'm not rushing in to talk about wrestling this week is because last week, we started the show obviously with the return of Shane McMahon.
Yep.
But this week, I feel Raw, you know, it almost lost all its momentum from last week. And effectively, that Undertaker promo, you can't even call it a promo. I mean, what were your thoughts on that?
It was deflating. I mean, I expected more, you know?
Yep.
He took he took 7 minutes to get to the ring. And he cut a promo for 45 seconds. I mean, sure, that's all he had to say. He got to the point. Like, I understood it from there. He was like, I don't like to do your personal bidding, but if you want to put your son in there, I'm going to kill him. So, that's on you.
Yeah.
It was good, it was to the point, but I just didn't like how it didn't do anything. Like, it didn't advance anything. Stephanie's promo did more for that feud than that promo.
Yeah. It hasn't developed the story. I mean, I still don't know. Am I supposed to be cheering for Undertaker or not?
Right. Shane's motivation is to change the business, and Undertaker's motivation is just to beat him up because he didn't want to be disrespected.
Yep.
You know, just thrown into a match. He's like, if you're going to do that, fine. Just know when I close the cell door.
It was
just weak. It was weak, man. I expected so much more. They Shane McMahon, you know, he cut his promo Monday.
Yep.
And then what was it, Tuesday or Wednesday, they announced Undertaker would be on Raw.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm anticipating it. And then during Stephanie's promo, before the Undertaker's promo, it's like, oh, Shane's not even here tonight. It's like, oh, okay, way to just drop that on me now.
I'll tell
before
you,
the second hour.
Or
the third hour, my bad.
Do you know what? I did sort of everything in my power to... Because obviously I said last week on the show, I unfortunately got it spoiled for me that the return of Shane McMahon, I actually sort of found out before it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So this week, you know, it was completely blackout central, you know, do not go on the internet at all until you get to see Raw. And I'm like, man, I kind of wish I did. You know, because I'd heard rumours, I don't know about you, but I'd heard certain rumours about certain guys, one being CM Punk. I don't know if you heard about that, where there was chat about, you know, possible the big thing could be that Shane McMahon is bringing him back. And I was like, man, that would be the ultimate, you know, because...
Damn. Yeah, I don't...
That would blow, I think, everybody's mind. Because I think the only guy that could probably get a pop as big as Shane would be CM Punk now.
Yeah.
So that was something that I was like, man, how cool would that be? I quickly realised after the first segment of Raw that wasn't going to happen. Because obviously... Roman Reigns wasn't there, Brock Lesnar wasn't there, and I feel like the whole Dean Ambrose Triple H thing was just to fill time.
Yeah.
You know?
It was, they just replaced Roman with Dean for the night. They're like, you go do that role.
And we
give people false hope. You know they're facing each other on a network special on the 12th, right?
Is that right?
Yeah, they're going to face each other for the belt.
Ah, okay. That makes
sense. Yeah, it's basically a house show in Canada.
Right.
It's called,
Up Canada. Come on, the Canadians.
What is it called? Roadblock.
What?
Yeah, it's called Roadblock. They're really going with the road
they
metaphors.
They need to stop this. They really do. Oh, man.
Yeah.
So, they better stop it, because soon they're going to end up changing the name of the Royal Rumble to Carlo or something like that. I did not know that. That's interesting. So
it was named March to WrestleMania before, and then they just renamed it to Roadblock.
That's so much cooler. March to WrestleMania. I mean, do you know what's always annoyed me, John? My birthday is in March, right? And most years, there is never a pay-per-view on in March. And I'm like, that sucks. Because it's like, you go from Royal Rumble, then there's always the February pay-per-view. And then you've got, then from then, they always like to, you know, hang WrestleMania right at the beginning of April. Sometimes they'll put it, it's very rare for it to be at the end of March, but sometimes they will, but it's mostly at the beginning of April. So I always have to go... I'm always like, man, it's my birthday month, but they never put a pay-per-view on. So that's just a little pet peeve
for
me.
I'm hearing they're going to put on, like, a pay-per-view caliber house show, you know? I mean, right here on their website, they have Roman Reigns, Sheamus, Brock Lesnar, Triple H, Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, and AJ Styles, you know, as, like, the advertisement people.
Yeah.
And Bray Wyatt. Luke Harper.
I'm trying to remember the MSG one. I mean, it had Brock on it. I'm trying to remember what else it had, though. Did it have a championship match? Yeah, it did. It was John Cena and Seth Rollins. In a cage, I think. But the problem is, you knew nothing was going to happen, because as much as they love the network, nothing happens at these shows that really means much.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we both...
Until they change, like, titles on one of these network shows, they won't really be what they expect them to be.
Yep.
You know, like, even if it's the tag titles.
Yep.
I don't want to see it, but even if, like, Y2AJ, quote-unquote, takes the belts from the New Day on the special, if they were to face them or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's gonna make people subscribe more next time you have a network special. You know, or if you change the U.S. title on one of the specials. It's like, you mean the U.S. title that was defended on the pre-show?
Exactly. The U.S. title that changes hands every week.
Yeah. The U.S. title, because John Cena doesn't have it, the Golden Child with the Golden Shovel doesn't have it, it's irrelevant.
Exactly.
It's a freaking pre-show belt. It's less relevant than the IC title. How does that work? Because John Cena doesn't hold the IC title.
The IC title right now it's in the right place, you know.
Yeah.
And long may that continue, as far as I'm concerned. So yeah. I think we can both safely say that the main event for WrestleMania is not going to change at this point.
It doesn't seem like it.
No. And so therefore Raw to me just seemed almost like SmackDown this week.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that whatever happens next week almost, you know, it's almost like we could just skip the Raw that's just been and everything. Hopefully next week it'll pick up again with some proper sort of appearances. But, you know, they had, for me, the main reason to watch that without Brock Lesnar or Roman Reigns being there was, or Shane, was The Undertaker. So if it had been me, I would have been putting him in the main event slot to promo for 15 minutes, you know, about why he's doing this, what his motivation is, why we should invest in the match on his side. I'm invested in the match on Shane's side. So now there's 100 reasons for me to want Shane to win and none for me to want The Undertaker to win. Do you know what I mean? So like, if Undertaker wins, nothing changes. His career isn't on the line or anything like we were talking about last week. So he wins, things stay exactly the same. Why am I going to cheer for him? Because it's WrestleMania? Because it's Texas? No. You know, I don't care. The streak doesn't exist anymore. So why should I want Undertaker to win? Surely every wrestling fan, or fan of the WWE at least, is going to want Shane to win.
Yeah.
So,
that's how I'm feeling.
Exactly.
A lot of podcasts, though, don't even want to see him in that position.
Who?
Shane.
What, in the match? I'm
so shocked.
Man, it's...
I'm the furthest thing from it.
Yeah.
I want to see that match.
I mean, luckily, though, there are quite a few people who have said that they want not only... Let me rephrase that. The people who have said they do want to see the match and they're glad Shane's there, they not only want to see the match, but they want to see that match as the main event, like we were talking about. Yeah. They want to see it at the top of the card, above the Triple H match, because of the stakes that are involved in it. The fact that it's got the Hell in the Cell stipulation also. That, for me, puts it as a far more important match than the Triple H match that... Let's face it.
I mean, that's exactly how I feel.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of old school people that think the championship match should always be the main event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was... Sometimes, though, things are bigger than that. Like, they did it correctly.
I agree.
Well, they did it correctly when Shawn Michaels retired. They put Shawn Michaels Undertaker at the end of the night because they knew at the end of it, so Shawn Michaels retired. If I had to then watch a championship match after that, I would have been so deflated because I was already so... Because I was rooting for Shawn in that match, and when he lost, I was properly gutted. I was upset, and I was like, fine, that's it. But that was the end of the night, and it was kind of, you know, rides off into the sunset. Shawn Michaels has left the building! And I was like, right, that's fine. But if I had to watch a championship match after that, so let's say this Hell in the Cell match comes up at Mania, and Undertaker beats Shane, and then I'm like, all right, so now nothing changes. I've then got to sit through Triple H Roman Reigns. So...
I mean, I agree with you. Sometimes it's bigger. Wasn't The Rock and Cena the main event, even though it wasn't for the championship the first time?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it is bigger than that, but... I mean, I guess we'll see if they're,
I think, Yeah, it was CM Punk Jericho, I'm sure, was the match the year that Cena and Rock went on last. And I know that Punk, that was one of the things that in the end sort of caused him to hang up his boots. You know, so you want to keep your talent happy. But at the same time, I don't think that there's any need to put Roman Reigns at the top of the card just yet, because he's still sort of working his way up, in my opinion.
He didn't belong at the top of the card.
No.
8 months ago. He didn't belong at the top of the card last year.
Exactly.
It's just getting annoying. He can't cut a promo. I don't believe him. Sure, he has the look, but what the hell is the look? What is the look? There's so many different types of wrestlers out there. Yep. Some people love Jeff Hardy. He doesn't look like Roman Reigns.
Nope.
Some people love Daniel Bryan. He doesn't look like Roman Reigns. Some people love Brock Lesnar, and he doesn't look like Roman Reigns.
No.
There is no cookie cutter formula for a wrestler.
I think that's quite interesting.
For them to
say
the look is his only freaking thing, like, he can't be booked well, he can't cut a promo well, he's not believable, and he doesn't give a shit about the universe. Look at what happened to him the day after Philadelphia shitted on him. He just ripped into them like they hate their lives. Okay?
He's,
because you're not getting over, they hate their lives. Because they like Daniel Bryan over you, they hate their lives.
Yeah.
You gotta go. You just didn't make it in football, and now you want to do this. You gotta go. There's no passion.
No, I don't. That's the thing I don't get. I mean, when I watch, I mean, I think the perfect example is Seth Rollins, obviously former Shield member as well. It's like, there's a guy who was born to do this.
Yeah.
Because
there's passion.
Yeah.
Same thing for Ambrose, same thing for Owens, same thing for
AJ.
Earlier in his career, Dolph Ziggler.
Yeah.
AJ Styles, you know?
Dolph
still has passion for it, but I'm saying he knows he's not going to be a main eventer anytime soon because he's a really good worker.
Can I just ask a question? Who does Dolph Ziggler think he is that he can tear in to The Miz about what has The Miz done in the last 5 years?
Yeah. I mean,
that was mid-carder ripping into mid-carder.
I don't understand that at all.
Dude, it's like,
wait, what have you done, though?
Yeah, exactly, apart from getting cussed.
It was the Soul Survivor 2014. I cashed in the Money in the Bank once.
Yeah, that was,
I was a champion when the big gold belt was irrelevant.
It's I don't know, man. We'll see what happens, but, so hopefully
I love Dolph, but that's just a bad promo, because they're both in the literal same position.
Exactly. Exactly.
The Miz TV segment is the equivalent of Dolph Ziggler facing Kevin Owens 15 times in a row and then finally getting a championship opportunity, only to lose. Same thing.
But at least Miz is getting in the ring with main eventers, even though he's not wrestling them. That's something Dolph can't say, so, you know.
Well, yeah, and they are beating him up, so I guess he's fighting them.
You know
he's
what?
He's fighting their fists with his face.
But I'll tell you, worst insult of the week does not go to him. It goes to Brie Bella. I don't know if you know, like, she's called Rusev a bear from that movie, The Revenant. Oscars, it's like, give me a break.
Well, they just kept bringing up the Oscars.
It was horrible.
All freaking night.
That was the worst bet, though. It was like, good one, Brie. You really got her there? It's like, yeah. So what you've done is you've compared her fiancé, who gets called the Bulgarian Brute anyway, to a grizzly bear. Now, if I'm a guy and I'm a big...
Oh, and to shave his back.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, that...
Can't forget that one.
That's nasty. You got her. But, yeah, that for me was just a bit strange.
Honestly, the only reason I didn't mind is because I want to see Lana wrestle. And if she's as green as they say, I would love to see her wrestle Brie. Because Brie is green. And they're both...
Oh, God.
I mean, I think she's better than Brie on the mic, but, you know, working off of her,
that match,
it might help her own her skills.
That match would be a match that would probably only last 3 minutes, but would seem like 30.
Yeah, but if it happened 4 months ago and people actually wanted to see Lana in the ring, it'd be a big thing.
Mm, that's true.
So if they could build it again the right way, then yeah, I'd, I wouldn't mind it. If we're going to have a Divas Revolution, why not have a couple job matches for Divas, too? That's what, because we're going to offend people like we're going back to the old times? No, some women suck.
Yeah, yeah.
Rhea sucks. She should lose to Charlotte in 4 minutes.
Or maybe they could just get rid of them altogether. That would be my personal opinion, but hey-ho. Actually, you know, harken back to something that I noticed on Raw, and that I've actually noticed since Triple H won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at the Royal Rumble, is that for some weird reason, he seems to no longer know how to carry a championship belt. Because the guy, I don't know if you noticed at one point, but when this was right at the end of the night, when, was it the end of the night? When Dean said, "Hey, Hunter, thanks." That was right at the end, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
he does fidget with the belt a lot, right?
He picked it up, though, by, you know, so that you've, like, if I'm carrying the belt, right, I'm going to hook it, you know, I'm going to carry it by one of the sides, sort of just, it's really hard to try and describe when you only got audio, but it's basically just behind, you know how you get the side plates? Just after that, you're holding it there so it kind of loops around your hand, right? Hunter carried it by the main section, the big WWE section, he carried it by that, but by the top of it. So it was weird, it just looked, go back and watch it, it just looks really weird. But yeah. Hunter, how he used to hold the belt, he used to hold the belt, right? So what he would do is he would tuck the two sides round the back of it. When he had the World Heavyweight Championship, the big gold one. And he would have it, and it was almost like the only bit you could see was the big gold bit. And he'd kind of hold it like a baby, if that makes sense. When he was in Evolution, that's how he'd carry. And I thought, he carries that belt really well. But now it's like, he's not been the champion so long, and this is a new belt since he was last champion.
That's what I was going
to say. He doesn't have a clue what to do belt? With it.
Has he ever held this belt? He's like, oh, Seth always had this belt.
Exactly. He's like,
these
don't...
These plates are heavy.
Exactly.
Geez.
It's too big. It's too... It's not round enough. It's too pointy.
It is a big belt. I mean, it's not as big as the NXT belt, though. Jeez. You see the belt strap on that
thing? That thing is... I hated it at first. Now I think it's all right.
Yeah. I mean, I like how big it is in the front. But then I see the straps and I'm like, whoa.
You're going to have no problem.
That thing should be around Samoa Joe.
Exactly. You're going to have no Finn problems guessing what promotion that's for, though. Giant NXT. So, and that's a problem. I feel like WWE may be getting a bit lazy with their designs for belts. Let's just make it a giant logo. I mean, come on. It's basically, the WWE title
is
now...
I mean, for me, though, I thought that was really cool coming back to the product, because I thought the spinning belt was corny.
Oh, yeah. They had to get rid of
that.
You
know, the big gold belt kind of ran its course after a while. It was just a pre-show belt, you know. Ugh.
I think it
They were defending it on the pre-show. When you're defending the World Heavyweight Championship on the pre-show, eh. I mean, maybe if it's trying to get network subscribers to buy, but...
I think that was...
It's just kind of disrespectful to the talent.
Yeah, it's disrespectful to the title as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's because that's Ric Flair's belt. You know, that's what it'll always be. The World Heavyweight Championship will be Ric Flair's title. And, you know, that's how I kind of see it. But,
Well, that's you, man. I grew up during the Reign of Terror. I see that as Triple H's belt.
Well, so do I. That was, like, more my time. But I guess the reason I think of it as Ric Flair's belt is whenever I look at
that
old pictures. Whenever I look at old pictures of Ric. He's got that title.
You know when they redesigned it and put like those little red rubies on it?
Yep.
I hope they gave the original belt to Ric Flair.
Well, I don't know.
Unless they just redesigned the original belt.
Yeah, they did, because I've got
That's
it.
That's cool.
I've got the red rubies one, though. I've got that as a replica.
Nice.
And it, in real life, it's actually really cool. And the red rubies you can hardly see.
That belt is just so beautiful.
It's the designs on it are so intricate, and I'm like, man, I wish they would kind of. They don't have to.
Do you think
do
it's the best looking belt they've ever had? Like in.
Oh no.
In mainstream wrestling.
I love that. This is a okay. That's a good one. For me, I would probably say the Eagle belt that was
98 to 2002.
No, the 90.
88 to
98? Yep, that for me. That's my belt, because that's when I started getting into wrestling, so that was Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, first reign Stone Cold before he got the Smoking Skull. You know, that was the title that, for me, I remember I had that, you know, that was the one when I had the figures and stuff. That was the first belt that I was like in toy, and I was just like, man, this is the coolest thing ever. So that would probably be my favourite of all the belts. Maybe not the best looking, but just something.
Yeah, I can agree there. I grew up during the one that came right after it, you know, the circular one.
That was very, it was kind of just a kind of take on that. I felt like that one was always just, I really liked it. It was more just a more shiny, newer version of the older one, because it was still the eagle on it.
Yeah, I think that's why I didn't like the older one, because, you know, when I was young, we were broke, so I always wanted the circular one from my time.
Yeah.
Like the $20 belt or whatever.
Yeah.
And my mother always got me like, or my mother's freaking sister or whatever, always got me those $1, $2, like, you know, plastic belt. Like literally you could bend it plastic belts. And they were kind of just replicating the 1988 to 98 championship. So I always looked at it with like that perspective. Just like,
Actually, dude, I've got one. I've got one that's better.
But the big gold belt to me is like my favorite until Triple H ruined it for me. It was like my favorite. When I thought of it, I just thought of Goldberg. I was like, it's perfect. Think of Goldberg. Thought of Ric Flair. It's just, it was a prestigious belt that didn't deserve what it got. From 2002 to 2013, they ended it.
I think it was treated well for a while. I mean, I think there were great champions that held it. Like Edge held it, Jeff Hardy, CM Punk.
But did they look at that belt the same way they looked at that ugly, ridiculous toy spinning belt when John Cena had it or CM Punk had it for almost 450 days?
That was always the main title. The WWE title was always going to be the main one.
But that's what I'm saying. They didn't treat it with respect. It was just to make us smarks or marks, whatever you call them, happy. Like, see, Edge has a belt. We don't care about that belt, but he has a belt.
Well,
care about John Cena having this spinny one 12 times or whatever the hell.
I've got one that trumps that. I've got one that actually trumps that in terms of looks. Not the spinner. The title you're talking about.
The big gold belt?
Yeah, and it's not even a world title. It is the WWF 1990s tag team titles. Those things are freaking glorious.
See, that was the first actual belt I got. $20 belt. It's like I wanted the world championship belt, and then for Christmas I got a tag team title. One tag team title.
That's a bit. That's that kind of that'll make a kid feel alone. But you know, if you got a tag team title but no tag team partner, it's like that's not great. But those titles, beautiful, man, the best in my opinion, of just championship belts that looked like whenever someone had that, they looked like they were tag team champions. I just thought, man, and the thing is, they carried on through so many different. So you've got guys for like the Legion of Doom held them.
They're so beautiful.
Yeah, and but you've also got the New Age Outlaws held them. They spanned such a long time that you had so many great tag teams.
The Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian.
Exactly.
You know,
the Hardys.
The Hardy Boys.
Exactly, man. Those titles are the best. So,
they retired at October 14th, 2002.
Is that right?
Or May 2002, I think.
Jeez.
Says here.
Long, you know, shout out to those tag team titles. Long live.
It is a beautiful championship. I'm looking at it right now, like, wow.
They
have, you know, crowns on it, thorns. They have, you know, on the side plates, wrestlers, two sets of them in different positions. Like, it's just too cool.
Yeah. I love
it's
the overall
cool. They got
shape.
The world right in the middle.
Yep, I like that. That's red. That's so cool.
Mm-hmm. I like the little banner at the bottom, the tag team, wrestling champions. Like, wow. The belt says wrestling champions. Wow.
I don't even
wrestling.
Know. Exactly. Exactly.
It would say world tag team entertaining champions nowadays.
Yeah, they would. What do you think of AJ and Jericho as a tag team?
I like it for the purpose that I think they're trying to get to, you know, like the inevitable Chris Jericho heel turn.
Yeah.
He already took a kick from Kofi for the guy.
Did you... I thought their match on Raw this week was pretty solid against New Day.
Yeah.
I really... I think... And I get what you're saying. They are. There is more than likely going to be the eventual split. But for
there
me,
should,
they
but
work
if they
well.
Do become a tag team, I can fully invest in that.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm on board already, man. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, they could be the baby faces against the New Day. If we can't believe any other tag team can beat them, then why not have a little feud with them?
Exactly.
That'd be pretty cool for WrestleMania. Sure, I wouldn't want AJ Styles' first moment to necessarily be in a tag team, but what if he wins those titles? That's a good moment for the guy.
Exactly.
Still
got,
get some gold.
But they've got Shaw next week. That's next week, that title match.
Oh, really?
Yeah, next week on Raw.
On Raw?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Well, maybe that's where they're going to set it up, you know? They might lose that
exactly.
one. Exactly. Then get a network show, network rematch or whatever.
It would be interesting. I mean, for me, they're probably one of the most... they've only been around for like a week, and they're already probably the best face tag team there is. So
I would not be upset. It would be really exciting for me, you know?
Yeah.
For me, I felt like they had nothing for these guys. That's why they threw them together, you know, to get them to build some chemistry with WWE talent.
Mm-hmm.
But what better way to do that than to have this guy in your corner working with you against two guys every night, you know? Instead of just one, you're getting used to wrestling two different people.
Exactly.
That's pretty smart. I'll give them that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say burial just yet if they keep going with the tag team idea.
I'll tell you something, though. I'm so impressed with how quickly AJ Styles has fitted into the product.
Yeah, especially since, you know, he's only wrestled in front of like 200 people before TNA.
But do you know what, though? And I know what you're saying, but...
No, I'm just making a joke. He just wrestled in front of, what, 60,000?
Exactly.
Tokyo Dome?
He's used to those crowds.
And he really, really performed there well. But, I mean, that was a stiff, strong style, you know? I think he's more getting used to the WWE style now than dealing with fans, you know?
But I think he looks like a star. He looks like a WWE star, you know,
yeah.
Not necessarily just a style. But I think the reason for that is, in my opinion, is that he's probably the most recognizable guy outside of WWE before he came. So we all knew who he was, and we had all seen him quite a lot because he had a lot of exposure through TNA. So, therefore, and we've seen him interact with guys like Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan and people and Jeff Hardy for years.
Yeah.
So, him coming to WWE was almost old school, like a big name from WCW going to WWE. So, you know, you feel like you're watching an established guy. So, it's not like watching someone and you're scared he's going to mess up. You're like, this guy's a pro. I can invest my time in him. And I can get behind him because there's a good chance he's going to do well.
Yeah. Well, we always knew that he would be I wouldn't say I did or we. I'm just saying, in general, you could always tell that he was going to be a star. Just look at how he was booked in the TNA, you know? Like, every time he was booked as their major star and they signed a new guy, he was basically there to work with them.
Yeah.
You know, and put them over, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
Which was, they were feeding him crap, basically, doing that. It's like, oh, you're our guy until we sign another guy. And then he's our guy. And you have to go do the job. But at least they trusted him enough to do those feuds, you know?
He was effectively the Bret Hart of TNA for a while.
Yeah.
It was like, we want to put you at the top, but we're going to bring in this guy and put him at the top. But he's going to fail and you're still going to be there and be the best. And the fans will know it. It'll just take forever for us to know. So it's very... You think about it, it's kind of mirrored.
That's why I was so biased against the guy up until maybe last year, you know? I was like, this guy, the guy who, you know, wasn't a star among all those people. But now I realize why, you know?
He was a backbone.
Yeah, I can understand now why Dixie Carter was so salty that he signed with WWE.
Yeah, yeah.
But she should understand, like, you know, maybe you should have treated him a little better and not lowballed him on a contract.
Yes. You should listen to the... I don't know if we talked about this before, but I listened to the podcast, Chris Jericho's podcast, and AJ's the guest. Really interesting. If you get a chance to listen to it, I'd thoroughly recommend that you do, because it's just a very insightful on, you know, his reasons for taking so long to come to WWE, and his time in Japan and stuff. It's really good. And him and Chris obviously have that in common, that Japan history. So it's definitely worth a listen, I would say. I don't know if you noticed this on Raw, but when Triple H, and we've harked back to Triple H quite a bit in this podcast, but, you know, that's what he would love. And I'm just doing what Raw always does, and that's put him on three times at least in a show. So basically, he was beating up Dean Ambrose at the commentary table. And I thought I was hearing extra commentary from somewhere, and I wasn't. I was just hearing these fans at the barricade, and it was a guy, I think he may have been doing like a Jim Ross or homage or something, but generally you can't hear these guys over everyone else, but this guy must have been shouting at the top of his voice, and all I could hear him saying was like, he was shouting at Triple H while he was beating up Dean Ambrose, and he's going, "It's unprofessional! It's unprofessional!" And I'm like, who is this guy? And I thought he was coming through some... I was like, is that Vince? Man. Can I hear Vince shouting in Cole's ear? Is that what Cole's supposed to be shouting right now?
Yeah, that was cool.
But then I noticed that the camera kind of zoomed back, and I could see this fan going, "Man down! Man down! Can we just be friends? Can't we just be friends?" And I'm just like, this guy is a genius. I'm like, that's get great. The headset the on him.
Kingston. I mean, Xavier Woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, this is off topic, but I gotta give Triple H a little bit of credit. The camera work was terrible, but when he was on top of that table, like, just wailing on Dean Ambrose.
Yeah.
Just going to work on his face.
Yep.
Probably the most believable punch in the WWE right now.
Yeah. I was kind of hoping for some...
He pulls his punches beautifully. Like...
Oh, yeah. Oh,
beautifully.
Yeah. I've always thought he delivers a great right hand. But I was kind of hoping for a bit more color. I was wanting some blood again this week. I'm not going to lie.
I saw Dean Ambrose's hair, like, it moved towards his head. You know what I mean? Because it was wet. And I really thought it was a blood streak. I was like, oh! And they zoomed in. I was like, oh.
Byron, where were you, damn it? Where were you this week? Oh, wait, it was because I bet you that's why Triple H threw him away. You're not getting a slip of my blood capsule this week.
Oh, wow, I just realized that. That's pretty funny.
So,
he threw him out of the way. He was like, yeah, this will dispel any rumors this time.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to try to split you open.
So, yeah, that was pretty funny. But, that was a good way. But overall, Raw was a bit of a letdown. Have you been...
Once again, happy Black History Month, Byron.
See ya! Did you... I was good. Well, I'll tell you something. I mean, I'm really looking forward to, and it's Surf's Up 2. I don't know if you've seen this advertised.
Surf's Up 2.
Surf's Up 2. You know the film about penguin surfing.
Oh, the animated movie.
Yep. Well.
Oh man.
Have you seen the tweets? Have you seen the news about the second?
No, it's coming out.
About the second one.
It's confirmed, or it's coming out soon.
Yeah, do you know what it's about?
Nah.
Oh, man. So, bear with me a second, because I'm going to try and find the press thing, if I can. But, unfortunately, I can't at the moment, which is really annoying. Basically, what's happened is the makers of the hit Penguin animated film Surf's Up have teamed up with WWE for Surf's Up 2. You think I'm joking, don't you? I'm not joking. This is the truth. This is true.
This Andy, I know you're not joking, but understand my skepticism and the fact that I have to Google this right now.
Google it, man.
Just to understand.
Google it, because I...
Oh my god, it says Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania.
Yep. And it's going to be featuring the voices...
Oh my god, John Cena and Triple H.
Not only, and Vince, Undertaker, Paige, are going to be in
the
it
pro
as well.
Wrestlers are going to be surfers.
They're not only are they going to be surfers, they're going to be surfing penguins.
I'm sorry, but I love that. I love it.
You love
it? I'm watching it. I'm watching it 6 times over now. I probably wouldn't have watched it before, but I'm watching it now. And I'm making my girlfriend watch it, which is usually the other way around with like Pixar kind of movies.
Are you being serious?
Oh, yeah. I'm really? Watching it.
I'm sorry.
I'm watching it. I gotta see these guys as voice actors.
It's, right, so here, let me read this.
I have to. I'm marking out. I don't even like most of these guys.
That's pretty crazy. Listen, I'm going to give you a little readout here. So, basically the 5 superstars that I read it before. The group will help Corey Maverick search for a legendary big wave spot known as the Trenches. Shia LaBeouf voiced the Penguin in the original. I think we can pretty much guarantee that he's not going to be voicing the Penguin in the sequel.
Wow.
Further to that, Hotel Transylvania story artist Henry Yu is directing Surf's Up 2, with Abdul Williams scripting the film and Michelle Wong producing. Rainmaker Entertainment is the company behind the computer animation for the animated sequel. Well, that's information I don't need to know. But,
Spring of 2017, huh?
I can't wait.
Let me see.
No, you actually said that you can wait, whereas I, on the other hand, can very much wait for...
We've got Triple H, Undertaker, Paige, Cena, and Vince McMahon.
Exactly. So any hopes, guys out there who are open for the edgier product or the new era to begin...
You're not getting that.
Yeah, forget about it. If you need something that's going to quench... any of those hopes, then this is what that is. This is...
I'm sorry, guys. I'm going to smoke a real fat one and watch that one. And I'm going to laugh a lot.
Yeah, probably all the bits that aren't supposed to be funny.
Because, I mean, it's everything... Them doing this is everything I hate about wrestling. How, you know, you just said it's PG, it's not edgy.
Yep.
They're breaking kayfabe, basically. But, I mean, it's all entertainment at the end of the day. Movie's a movie, TV show's a TV show. It ain't a real sports competition. They tell us that all the damn time. It's just... They're not going to start faking it anymore, you know? Pretending that they actually give a damn. Well, I mean, they are now pretending they give a damn, right? Shane McMahon, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
What if it's
just a one-off? It's just to make us have false hope, and then we're still going to watch. Even if it's still Triple H, Stephanie, and Vince.
We are. We're mugs for the product. But, I mean, if for me, just all this is just... You know, after last week was such a high. I'm not going to lie. I was on a high for almost the whole of last week. Watched the Shane McMahon clip a good 4 or 5 times. and smiled every time to this week. Where I feel like I've just had the air knocked out of me. And it's just...
That's exactly what it was, man. I was watching with my friend, and as soon as it ended, that segment ended, I was like, that was, like, literally deflating.
Yep.
That was the personification of feeling deflated on my television screen.
Well, I mean, here's Triple H himself's reaction to this. So, he's put... And you can tell how underwhelmed he is. So, to this movie, Triple H. I've done a lot of stuff, but voice Hunter the Penguin? That's a first. Excited for Surf's Up 2 Wave Mania.
Yeah.
Hunter, I can tell by your the tone of your Instagram here that you're absolutely, you're embarrassed yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a different element for the guys. You know, I don't want to see John Cena rapping, but doing voiceover acting, that's something we've never really seen them do until that WWE camp show comes out.
Camp WWE.
I can't wait for that, to be honest. So you can understand why I'm pretty open-minded about Surf's Up 2.
Man, I'm surprised you didn't watch that Slam City.
What is it?
Slam City? That was an animation that was out a little while ago. It was like 3D animation, I think. Wrestling. And it was like, just, it was like Lego Town, but for wrestlers instead.
Wow.
You need to check that out, man. Sounds like you loved your anime.
What's the name again?
Slam City.
Slam City.
Yep.
I will. You know I will.
I do know you will.
Do you know when Camp WWE is supposed to come out?
I'm not entirely sure. Because I know that they were saying, like when Ric Flair was on Austin's podcast, which I think was just a couple of months back, I'm sure he was saying he had just done that. He had just done the voice for it. So I don't know. It might still be a little while before that's finished. So, so I urge anyone who wants to, you know, completely smash their view of WWE, go and have a look at the Surf's Up 2 and look at the picture and look at how they've actually made the pink. The thing is, the Penguins actually,
got it,
you know, look like the wrestlers. What have you got?
Yeah, it premieres Monday, May 2nd.
That's Camp WWE.
Yep, and they're working with Seth Green's Stupid Buddy Studios with two O's for Stupid in Studios.
Wow, that's that is stupid. But so yeah, that's the big news of the week. I think, but you know, in a really sad sense, I'm not lying about that.
Wow, this is crazy.
That does seem to be.
You know, did you know they have a date for the series premiere for the Global Cruiserweight Series?
Do they?
Yeah, Wednesday, July 13th at 9 PM. It says for the first time ever, WWE invites cruiserweights from all over the world to compete in the inaugural Global Cruiserweight Series. 32 of the greatest in-ring competitors under 205 pounds will descend upon Full Sail University in Orlando, Florida, and collide for 10 weeks to earn the right to call themselves the best cruiserweight in the world. So did they already choose 32 people? Did they already choose people?
They must.
Because if that's the case, they definitely took a lot of people from Evolve, and that's why Triple H was there. Because this is already expected to premiere, you know, in July.
Yeah.
That's four or five months from now. Four.
But these are just surely one-off appearances for a lot of these guys, I would imagine. They haven't been signed to contracts. It sounds to me like a sort of almost like an independent thing. I don't know, man. I'm very skeptical about it. I mean, because I can only take a certain amount of sort of cruiserweight stuff. So I like cruiserweight, but I couldn't watch an entire show worth. Do you know what I mean? Like a cruiserweight match shoved in the middle of a, you know, a normal Raw is good because it's a break from your sort of normal thing. But to watch guys do 10 somersaults and stuff.
Yeah.
Cruiserweight can really.
It puts them in a box too, you know? Yeah. Jay Lethal's 5'10", 215, and he's pretty versatile.
Yeah.
I would love to see him in there, even though he's the, the Ring of Honor champion right now?
See, that's what I was thinking. People like that won't even be there.
I know, it sucks. That's the only guy I'm really hoping to see, and I know, like, it's because I know he won't be there.
Exactly, it's just,
it's kind of like Shane McMahon. Like, oh, you think Shane McMahon will come back? Nah, man, you don't understand. They don't have a working relationship at all. And then it's like, here comes the money. You're like, holy, what?
Well, if the same thing happens with Jay Lethal, I'll be extremely surprised. But it's quite good you bring that up, because I was actually going to say to you, have you been watching NXT recently?
Can't even lie. I missed the last two episodes.
Same.
I know I told you last week that I missed the episode and, you know, I didn't catch
a fat lot of use you are. I was going to ask you if Austin Aries had debuted yet.
Oh yeah, I actually heard in another podcast that he did.
Oh,
I
he just, has.
I don't remember the details.
Is it just a promo?
Let me check it for you. Austin Aries, NXT debut. News. Oh, sorry. That's tonight. He's debuting tonight.
Oh, spoiler alert. Just...
Yeah, Balor versus Neville tonight.
That's... Balor versus Neville?
Yeah.
Wow.
It says March 2nd, 2016.
Yeah, that's...
It says WWE NXT champion Finn Balor versus Neville. The debut of former Ring of Honor and TNA champion Austin Aries. Vaudevillains versus Hugo Knox and Tucker Knight. Elias Sampson, versus Steve Cutler. Emma with Dana Brooke versus Santana Garrett.
Right, okay. That's,
there you go, my man. Austin Aries is going to come out tonight.
Excellent. So that means I don't need to go back and watch the last 2 weeks.
Right.
Although I will tell you, I did catch the very beginning of last week's episode, and American Alpha's new ring gear. Disgusting, Rooney.
Is it?
Oh man, it's so gross. Honestly, it's like...
I mean, I didn't really like their other one.
And neither did I, but at least it kind of went with their characters. This stuff looks like something Vincent Van Gogh would have made. Nope, Vincent Van Gogh, Picasso. It's just horrendous. Honestly. It's just bad. So I urge you just to check it out, just so you know how bad it is. Cause my
I'm checking right now.
Yeah. Man, you're just... You've just... Why don't you just do this podcast with the internet?
Come on.
So yeah, it's pretty disgusting, man. I don't get it. It doesn't go with their character. And their name, that name, American Alpha, makes me sick. Why don't if anything, they should call themselves American Alphas. You know? There's two of them, for God's sake. It's just... Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, this new one?
Yeah. It's kind of pink and blue.
The orange, the red.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's ugly.
Yep.
I didn't like the other one, but I'd rather see that than this.
Almost as ugly as Chad Gable. But anyway. That guy needs to get his facial hair sorted.
I'm not a big fan of the guy.
I'm not a big fan of either of them. I'm just... You know, they get
talked up. I just don't see him.
He's not main roster. He's not main roster.
He's only main roster if he's with his guy.
Yeah.
If he's with Jason Jordan.
Yeah. I think they're the kind of guys who would initially get a decent pop, but it would fade pretty quick. So.
What is it? Sorry.
I think they would initially get a decent pop, but they would probably fade pretty quick. So.
On the main roster?
Yeah.
Them or him?
Them, actually.
I think they would only get a decent pop if they're around Florida.
Yeah.
Because I always use my friend, my buddy George, as a, what's the word?
Measuring stick.
Yeah, for like a casual fan.
Yeah.
He doesn't know anybody from NXT.
Yeah.
You know, so when these guys come out, it'll be as if it's 2002 and they're coming from OVW.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like a brand new person to him.
Yeah.
That's... You know, he's not on Twitter, he's not on this and that, checking for, like, rumors and stuff.
Yeah. No, that's, I would agree with
that's
that.
That's how I gauge it, you know?
Can I just say a little shout out again?
Like AJ Styles, when he came out, I was telling him for a month who this guy was, and he wasn't buying into the quote-unquote hype.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's that example, like, that casual of a fan. But like I said, he's a mark for, like, Roman Reigns and Kane and Triple H, Big Show. He's one of those guys.
Yeah. But everybody, Mark I think Lesnar. Everybody's secretly a mark for Kane. Everyone. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
You know, his matches might stink out of the joint, but everyone's got to be soft spot for Kane.
Oh, yeah. I'm a mark for Kane, just not the Kane that I was reintroduced to, you know?
Yeah.
To go from the guy that...
I suppose you've not, because you had that break, whereas I've obviously sort of watched the natural progression all the way through. So.
Yeah. Do you know when ECW restarted?
Ooh, 2006?
Was it 2006?
Yep.
Yeah, I was not watching when it reformed.
Well, that's
so. I misinformed the audience. Dude, I stopped around 2005 and a half after Eddie Guerrero's death.
Right. Okay. Well, I watched. Look, I was watching WWE at that time, and I didn't even watch ECW. So, you know, I don't know who did. I don't know anyone who did watch ECW.
I've watched a few of those reruns or whatever you call them. Not the sci-fi shows, but like their pay-per-views. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Oh my god, I loved how the fans treated John Cena against Rob Van Dam. I loved it.
I really enjoyed the One Night Only. I'm not gonna lie, I thought they were really good. I thought it was just the sci-fi show sucked big time because it wasn't even ECW. It was just another brand.
And that chamber match, man, where Lashley won. Why is Lashley an ECW champion? Do you guys even know what an ECW champion is?
Exactly.
Big Show. Really? Do you think Big Show would have ever survived in the ECW back then?
Exactly. Wow. Who knows, man?
So big.
I'm going to give another shout-out this week, because I'm giving a lot of shout-outs. This one goes out to most disgruntled face of the week. Most disgruntled facial expression. Played to perfection amidst Charlotte Flair, sitting at ringside during the number one contenders match. The faces she was pulling, beautiful, hilarious, just like the look of disgust and disdain that she... I mean, Vince McMahon himself would be proud of facial expressions like that. I just loved it constantly. Rick's kind of just sitting there with that Ric Flair grin on his face constantly. Just like, you know, kind of with his Mr. Burns excellent hands, you know, just that way where his fingers are together. But Charlotte just kind of like... You could almost, even though you couldn't hear her, you could in your mind. She was going, ugh, ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh, constantly. And I was just like, loving it. Love your work. Love you, Charlotte. You know I'm a big fan. I know you're not as big a fan as me, but I'm like, you know, I think she is the personification of women's, you're going to hate me for saying this, man, but I think she's the personification of women's wrestling at the moment. Not of all time, but at the moment, and it's because she is doing such a good job as a heel, and she can really build up that division just by being a champion that everyone hates.
Man.
And she's doing that so well, I think, man. She's so unlikable, you know, but I like her. And I'll tell you, I only follow, like, I'm trying to think. I think I possibly only follow something like 3 wrestlers on Instagram. And she's one of them, because I'm just so impressed by her, like, see her physique, right? This is not a guy perving on a girl thing here. This is someone admiring someone else's physique, because, man, her dad never had that physique. You know, her dad wishes he had that. Exactly, whereas she just looks... You know, the part... She's almost like the female Triple H. You know, the female Evolution Triple H or something like that. You know, I just think she is the one...
And that got me to stop watching wrestling.
But, you know what I'm saying, though? It never got you... That wasn't why you stopped. You stopped watching because Eddie died. I'm telling you why. I didn't know you back then, but I'm telling you that's why you stopped.
That added to it, but 2002 to 2005, Raw was unbearable.
I know, and I agree.
It was 2
actually.
Hours long, and it was dominated by Triple H.
I agree, but you can't say...
I'm sure a lot of fans right now felt that way about Seth Rollins, but I bet you freaking miss him now.
You can't say that about Charlotte, though. She is, to be fair, she's not on it that much. She's only on it for, like, 15 minutes. And that 15 minutes is...
Oh, yeah, no, I know. So, I'm just saying...
Okay, maybe Triple H was a bad comparison, but, you know, I'm basically just saying she's playing the part well, and... When she, you know, for me, right now, when I'm, so let's say it goes to WrestleMania, it looks like it's going to be a triple threat, but let's say it was her versus Sasha Banks. To you, who looks better, and I don't mean in terms of physically, but who looks more in place as a champion at WrestleMania, Charlotte or Sasha?
Well, of course Charlotte, but...
Why, of course.
Charlotte wouldn't retain because it's supposed to be
But that
the underdog overcoming the odds.
Exactly, but that's the point.
She probably would retain.
But that's the point I'm making, is that Charlotte looks natural champion. And that's breeding, though. That's breeding as well. You know, that's her dad is like the most capped champion of all time. But she has managed to take that and not let it overshadow her. Because it could easily overshadow her. She's taken it, she's embracing it. It has
overshadowed her, though. Her whole gimmick is based upon her being his daughter.
But
the whole thing.
It works.
They're not wooing for her. She's not. Oh, she wasn't over as a babyface because of her or her in-ring work. Like, you can argue that Roman Reigns is a good worker, but to me, they're one in the same. She is the female Roman Reigns.
Dude, we...
She's green out there.
We agree on everything apart from this. You're like, she's green. I'm like, when you are the spouse... Not the spouse. The spawn of Ric Flair. Mm-hmm. When you are the... you're never green. You're never
green.
Yeah,
you are. His soul. God rest his soul. But his son was really green.
No,
he wasn't a good wrestler. He didn't get anything from his father.
Are you talking
about... You tell me she has charisma?
Are you talking about David here?
Yeah, he didn't have charisma.
Yeah, that's true.
The highlight of his career was getting beat the fuck up by The Undertaker. I mean...
That was awesome. That was an awesome moment. I'll always remember that. It's like... Yeah. Now, it's like Undertaker's like, now give me my match. And it's like... Ric Flair's like... Alright.
So it's like, to me, she's the Roman Reigns of the females division. Like I said, when she goes into a full mount, her little freaking swinging body motion punches, I don't buy that for a minute. Her running spear looks worse than Roman Reigns's, because his is starting to look better, but it's just a running hug. It's like, I don't want to see somebody win on a running hug and then the figure four. It's a figure four. I don't care that she can... curl her back like that. It's a figure four.
Well, it's better than the Miz's figure four. It's better than the Miz's figure four.
Gimmick infringement, man. She's just jacking the gimmick, and that's why a lot of people like me don't like her.
Well.
She's green, and she relies on that gimmick because her promo works weak. Her in-ring works weak. She's only been doing this for 2 or 3 years. She is Roman Reigns.
Well, that's a shame because Charlotte was going to be our guest on the show next week, but that's all right. We'll just cancel. Sorry, Charlotte. I'm phoning her right now.
Man,
I'm phoning her right now. Hello. Hi. Rick.
Still have her
Rick, stop wooing at me, man. Stop wooing at me, Rick. Put on Charlotte, will you, please?
Oh, I'd love to talk to Rick. I'll talk to Rick.
The guy's definitely me. Sorry, he's putting on. Hey, Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah. John says it's a no-go for next week.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's good. You can do it. I'll just be at home chilling.
Yep. Says you're the female Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought. Okay. See you later. Rick just came back on the phone. And you know what he said to me?
Woo.
Who the hell do you think you're talking to? That's what he said. Anyway. Anyway, I think that's a nice place for us to wrap things up today. So I'm quickly just going to say, John. Obviously, we're sort of trying to expand as much as possible and stuff and go on different formats, etc.
Yeah.
Do you want to tell like the guys who have managed to make it to the end of the show? And if you have, thank you so much. Appreciate
it.
John, do you want to tell them where else they can go? If you've found us on Podomatic, great. But there are other places that you can look for us. John?
Yeah, if you got an Android or an Apple, you can find us on the player.fm app under Andrew Patterson's podcast.
He sounds like a handsome guy.
Oh, yeah. Andrew. Also, you can find us on Podbean. You can find us also on Podbean under the same name.
There you go. So, if you liked our stuff, you can check out more of it. And we continue on to great things.
Speaking of Charlotte, spoiler alert.
Oh. Yeah.
Sasha Banks versus Becky Lynch. Charlotte she gets involved. She beats them both down, and there's no winner. So we're probably gonna have that triple threat.
All right. I love
Thank
it.
Thank God. Spoiler alert for SmackDown.
That's fine, isn't it?
I don't watch. Maybe I assume some of my fans don't watch.
That's cool. This won't be going up until it'll still go up before SmackDown comes out. But there's a good chance most of the listeners will listen to this at the weekend. And it'll have already been on, so fingers crossed.
We will see you guys next week previewing the March 12th show, right? The house show?
Absolutely.
I'm sure we'll have more details on what matches will be there other than Triple H and Ambrose.
And extremely exciting, if you're listening, is that next week I will give a comprehensive review of Strange Fascination, David Bowie.
Nice.
Exactly. So, see you then, guys. Enjoy. And enjoy whatever books you're reading. Sweet dreams. Goodbye.